Hey. So we're going to have to take this episode slowly because all the women look the same to me. So I'm going to need a little help as we progress through the different women.
More episodes.
Making sure we know who we're talking about.
Yeah. Hilary Duff is a famous child actress. Right.
Hilary Duff joined the cast of The Bachelor.
No, I remember she had that song on MTV when I was a kid.
I'm
missing you like candy.
Yeah, that's Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore.
Hilary Duff was on a Disney show. You're right.
Yeah, she was on Hannah Montana, and more recently she's been on Younger, which is a great show.
Hilary Duff was on Lizzie McGuire. Hannah Montana is...
Oh, you're right. hang on.
Miley Cyrus.
Yes, I forgot.
Wait, so Hilary Duff was on...
Lizzie McGuire.
Lizzie McGuire, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes more sense. So Mandy Moore, I was getting them mixed up. Mandy Moore is now on Mix Upable. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all they all have somehow retained their careers. There should be an SVU episode about it, honestly, because there's no way they have retained their careers through talent, I must say. Like, Jessica said, like, how? There's no way. They are all just the most, but I mean, I kind of wanted to talk about Hilary Duff in that How I Met Your Father spinoff,
which doesn't really look funny.
It looks so bad. She is
the original
way miscast
show wasn't
for
funny,
that.
So
what'd
that's kind of true.
Okay. Yeah, so the original show wasn't funny either. So
I thought, well, I mean, it was supposed to be funny, right?
Yes, I believe it was supposed to be funny, but I found it kind of unbearable to watch.
Which is the show with what's his name? the guy who's in the new Matrix, the Doogie Howser.
That's the show with Doogie Howser, is How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the characters on
and
that.
He played
one
like
of the
a,
most, he's
a
the worst character on it.
He played like a womanizing, I don't know, I thought it was funny.
Well, the worst, I mean, the whole joke, the real joke there is that he's gay. And so him being a womanizer is supposed to be funny because he's actually, like, that's the joke we're supposed to have at home. And it's not funny. I don't care that he's gay in real life. It's not a funny joke. None of it's funny. But at the time, I mean, I've seen a lot of episodes. I can't, I can say without having seen, except for the previews of the new show, that Hilary Duff is completely miscast.
Right.
I don't think she works in that role at all.
No.
Which is what I'm talking about, where I'm like, how did these people... How did all of those people we just mentioned still have a career?
Well, did you watch Younger, though? Because Younger is really good.
Is that with Mandy?
But I
Hilary
love
Duff?
Younger.
Yeah, Hilary Duff's in it.
Not. Yeah, but I don't think she's that good in it. I think she just happened into the...
She's not the, like the main... The but place. I enjoy her in it.
Mandy Moore is critically acclaimed in This Is Us, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. But I haven't watched that show.
So there you go. There you go.
I don't agree with either of those statements. I don't think either of them are good in it. I mean, Miley Cyrus is the only one who makes sense why she still has a career, but she's not trying to act.
Right. Well, she's an artist, and I think she does a pretty good job with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Well, speaking of shows that aren't any good, in fact, Crash and Burn, awful, the... Viewers are running like rats away from the Pied Piper. And just like that. Easy, give us the scoop.
You're the one who said this. I've watched all the episodes up till now, which I think I'm in the fifth episode. It's kind of waning right now, but I can see it ending well. It's not that bad.
And they're like, oh, you're my black friend. Oh, you're my Indian friend. Oh, it's okay if you wear a sari to a party. All that kind of crap.
Yeah, those kinds of things are kind of weird. But they have to do that. Like, that's what you understand watching it. And they are also... I like the idea of these women being older. I think that's okay. But I, like I've said before, I think the creator has completely lost whatever it he had.
The male writer.
At one point.
Yeah.
Sure. But I think he lost it with, I really did not like Emily in Paris. I don't think, but that's still going strong. But I, you know, a lot of people don't like it. So I think it's the same kind of, it's in the same boat.
Oh, I love Emily in Paris.
divisiveness. Yeah, I know, but I don't hate Just Like That so far.
So far, okay.
There's nothing about it I hate.
Well, speaking of HBO Max, guess what I watched last night?
F-Boy Island?
No, I did not watch F-Boy Island.
Forgot about that.
I watched the season 2 premiere of Euphoria.
Cool.
No comment, huh?
Never seen it.
I think I've never seen it either.
Oh, I figured, Caitlin, I figured you'd be on that.
No, I'm not sure why I haven't gotten around to that one yet, but it hasn't piqued my interest enough.
It's dark. It's super dark. Darker than season 1, that's for sure. So if you like dark, watch Euphoria. It's starring, what's her name? Zendaya.
It's like high school dark, though.
Well,
from what you told me.
They all should be in college. It should be a college drama, college-aged drama, because for high schoolers to be dealing with the shit that they're dealing with, it's like, not really
believable. Degrassi, when they got, and all that stuff happened on Degrassi, and you're like,
yeah, exactly.
This guy's in a wheelchair now? It's crazy.
But it takes place in L.A. County, and they take the Metrolink and stuff. It's kind of neat. It's supposed to take place
in the desert, like in
Lancaster? Arcadia kind of area, I think. It's like Rancho Cucamonga, I think, is where they film it. Uh-huh. Could be wrong.
Anyway.
So Metrolink plays a big part in the season 1, a cliffhanger in the season 2. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Interesting. Yeah. okay, back to the real show.
The show at hand?
Yeah. I kind of... They readdressed Jesse Palmer being now married, not to who he met on The Bachelor, which is he, but of course they omit.
Well, he kind of winked his eye. He's like, yes, I'm happily married. Now let's move on.
Well, here he is saying it.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Some of you may or may not remember, once upon a time, I myself was The Bachelor. And as such, I know how this thing works. And I know that this thing can work.
What?
You a happily married man now?
I'm so glad you said that. Because yes, I am a happily married man. And I want nothing more than for Clayton and for you all to find love.
When I first heard the I thought it meant like, dang it. And then I guess they meant it like, that's so sweet.
Yeah, of course.
But
yeah, I don't think any of them are
don't think so.
Angling for Jesse. I don't think they're interested in him.
I think they would have been if
he was The Bachelor.
If he was a single man hosting, if, you know, at one point Chris Harrison got a divorce and the lady from E.T. snatched him right up anyway, stuck by him. Cause I was thinking to myself, wow, now that she no longer has that inside scoop, she should ditch him. But they got married after the whole scandal, which is interesting.
Jokes on her.
Yeah, kind of. Okay, we can move on now.
okay, so let's try to put this into slots, manageable slots. So we have Cassidy.
Cassidy. Let's start with her. Cassidy. Wait, well,
let's just continue this out here so I make sure I know who we're talking about. So it was Cassidy who made out with him on the poolside during a kid's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And then the second hour was... What's her name?
Shanae?
Shanae, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Fighting with Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Fighting with Elizabeth. And I think we all take Elizabeth's side on all of that. Unless I'm missing something. And then we had a one-on-one date with...
Susie.
Okay, so it's Cassidy, then Susie, then Shanae.
And Elizabeth by proxy.
And Elizabeth by proxy, yes.
Only because she was just the right person to
right.
attack. There was no rhyme or yeah. reason to it.
See, this is why when I go on an airplane or a bus or, you know, any form of public transportation, I never make eye contact with the person I'm sitting next to. Because that's just inviting them to talk to you. And it's always going to end poorly. It's like if you just, out of the corner of your eye, accidentally make eye contact, then they're going to be like, oh, where are you going? I'm going to Florida. So this is what Elizabeth's problem was, is that she made friendly with Shanae. And that just opened up a can of worms for her to then be the target of her ire.
Except that Shanae had this really bad game plan because it wasn't really meant for her. She was just trying to do what Cassidy did. And then she ended up, I mean, Elizabeth just went for it the way, you know, sat next to him. She grabbed him first, and that made her a target. Right. So,
well, no, I think she was a target because they had become friends a couple days earlier.
No. Remember? I think it's she was the target, I think, because she was interacting the most with Clayton and, like, seemed threatening.
Right.
But the only reason it feels a little bit of both to me is because she specifically, when they sat down together, Elizabeth and Shanae recall an event that we didn't see that doesn't make any sense. And it was just something that was plucked out of nowhere, right? Mm. Like, we know that. We know that watching them. That Shanae is just picking out an event and decided that was, that hurt her feelings was her own words.
Right.
But if Elizabeth hadn't been the one who pulled him first and grabbed him or whatever, then Shanae would have found someone else to find an argument with.
Right.
That makes sense. So I feel like it's not like it's because she did the pulling thing that she got called out for something that made no sense.
Right.
Anyway. Okay. Cool. Let's start with Cassidy, though. Cassidy.
Okay.
Bad makeup Cassidy. Like, bronzer only on the cheeks, which is really bad look. Unless someone can correct me on what was happening with her makeup at the beginning of the
Sure, because I noticed it, too, that she was, like, she was kind of shinier than just highlighter would imply, and her nose is a little red, and I couldn't tell if she like put her blush on in a weird way or she was just maybe drunk a lot.
She just looked way too dark on the cheeks, and it made her look like she was just wearing sunglasses for too long, and I thought it would look really bad. It looked really bad. I don't think I don't know. I don't think he would have given her a rose, except it was a boring episode if he doesn't. You have to put her, like, way up to tear her down, essentially. So I kind of don't buy that he likes her as much as they say.
Right? Like, I don't think he liked her out of all the women who were there. I think it was more, he seems very easy to convince of anything. And so she got him to, like, make out with her, like, 3 or 4 times on that date alone, right?
Right.
Just by the force of being like, let's make out right now. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah. So I feel like he would have fallen for whatever she was dangling because he's just kind of gullible, you know?
Yeah, but I also kind of think this is the producer's doing. I don't think this is him giving a rose because he kissed her the most. I think it's give her the rose if you're undecided. Or if you would just give it to Teddy, and we don't want her to double rose back to back, give it to Cassidy because it works for them. Because he does do what they say. I don't think it was a legitimate, like, heartfelt giving of a rose. That's why the drama is kind of like, You know, they're trying to set off waves with the other women.
The drama is
Like, they're just trying to enrage the other women. That's what the rose was for. And to put Cassidy, like, way ego, have her ego soar for a little while to take her down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also would say this double villain episode is, for me, the villains really made the whole thing work because without them, the first, like, few minutes before Cassidy starts popping off, I was like, this is so boring. How am I going to suffer through 2 hours of this? And then it was like, oh, all right, some villains. Okay. This makes it more interesting for me. And she is funny to me. Like, I laughed out loud at a few points at things that she said because she's so over the top, like, evil stepmother vibes of, like, she literally says, screw the kids at this birthday party. And, like, keeps on dropping these incredible lines that, you know, anybody would know you should not say this kind of thing, right? But yet she's still saying, like, yeah, the screw the kids thing, when she's at the tea party table with a couple of the kids, and she says she avoids spending time with you small people as much as possible. Oh, my gosh. And then when she drops the birthday cake, I'm just like, this is so over the top. It makes it really fun to me to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
She's going with whatever, you know, they say. Anyway, do you guys want to talk about the F-Buddy thing?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the F-Buddy thing, because this is kind of fun.
I cut out kind of in order what the woman who tells Clayton about it.
Honestly,
and then the actual clip of her saying it.
She has a friends with benefits that she's had for a long time, and she was FaceTiming him right before she met you. And she's letting him know, I'm going to be MIA for a little bit. And apparently he said back to her that he wanted to do nasty things with her when she got back. It would be cuddling season. And so obviously she's not here for you and to have love with you.
Hold on, pause it.
There's one guy that I've been hooking up with on and off for a while. He's a few years younger. He FaceTimed me while I was at the hotel, and I told him I was about to leave for filming. I couldn't tell him what for, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, on that FaceTime, he was like, well, whatever the show it is you're on, like, I can't wait for you to get back. Let's watch it together. And
Okay. Because I like the way he reacts. He's like,
Wow, okay.
All right.
So, you know, that does not sound like just an F-buddy to me. That sounds like a budding relationship, or one of them hopes it will be one, if we are to believe what Cassidy actually says is true, that they can't wait to watch it together. Okay.
So what Sierra is the woman who told Clayton about this. I think the way that Sierra explains it to Clayton actually makes it seem not as bad as the flashback recording of Cassidy is, right? If you just take what Sierra says, it just sort of seems like, okay, well, she was hooking up with some guy. She has a friends with benefits or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that really that big of a deal? That's not a serious relationship, so that shouldn't impact her trying to date him, right?
Right.
But when you listen to the other, like the flashback portion, it sounded much more like, there was something about how, you know, they were going to watch it together when the show was over and stuff like that, which sounds like, yeah, more budding relationship-y than just a friends with benefits thing, right?
Yeah. And who among them doesn't have a friends with benefits? That's all I could think.
Yeah, well, this was the thing that Us Weekly article I sent to all via text went on.
So the article assumes that he's going to cut her. So let's just get that out of the way.
Yes. I'll read you this quote from Cassidy. They're taking it from her Instagram, from like a post that she made. She says, I realize that I am normally being dramatic, but you were going to give Sally Carson a rose, even though she was engaged last week. Meanwhile, right. I effed someone a few months ago and I got sent home. Okay, yeah. No, it's cool. I get it. I get what we're made of here. I get the stuff that's happening, and go F yourself, Clayton Eckard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Why not?
Because the end of a relationship and how close that is to a new... First off, you shouldn't agree with that. Because the end of a relationship, how close it is to a new relationship, doesn't affect... I mean, and it did affect her.
Why should I agree with that?
Why is Cass... Because you... the second you end... The day you end a relationship is the day you start another relationship.
Yeah,
right?
What's wrong with that?
Exactly. That's... that's what she's saying is comparable to her having a friends with benefits, which means that, so what if I had sex with someone before I came on right. here?
That's why I agree with what she said.
Well, because she's, there's, I mean, a friends with benefits implies you could always go back to that person, even though yeah. it doesn't sound like that to me. It sounds like they're starting something. They're just not that serious about each other yet. And I don't know. They all might have that, but.
You know, yeah. I've never really had a friends with benefits. Not one that I can think of.
Why do you say never really?
I just don't think I've ever really had a friends with benefits.
Yeah, but what's that teeter tottery one that you're like, okay, maybe that one?
Okay, I've never had one.
Oh, okay.
As much okay. as I tried, I don't think I have. I'm thinking back, and I don't think I have.
Here's the thing about that, though, is that you shouldn't be thinking back. You should be thinking throughout. Like, who just keeps coming back?
No one.
Okay, then I believe you.
Yeah, I've had some of those. And where I disagree with you, EZR, is that, so you're saying having a friends with benefits is different than having a serious relationship / engagement that ended, right?
That just ended, yeah.
That just ended, because a friends with benefits can be a recurring thing, whereas presumably if you've ended your engagement, that means you're not intending to get back together with that person. Although now we know right. she did get back together with him, so, because well, that's on Instagram.
Right. Oh, she did?
She Wait, did, or at least she's been here. Posting pictures with him and stuff, so people really? Assume they're back together, but who actually knows? It's whatever. But I think the thing with a friends with benefits situation is, if you really wanted to be dating that person, then you wouldn't be looking at other people, and you'd probably be actively trying to date them. Right. So I see it more as, like, she's willing to give that up if something better comes along.
Yeah, I think that's the point, is that in a moment's notice, you can just end it. That's the whole point, is you're supposed to not catch feelings, to use a phrase.
Well, my problem is that it doesn't sound like a friends with benefits situation to begin with. And it sounds like either she's exaggerating how into her he is, or vice versa. So right. I don't believe her to begin with. You know, if this was like exactly what she says it is, then maybe there's a lot more gray area. But I don't think it's exactly what she says it is, because I can't trust this. I can't trust this woman. Like, she's untrustworthy. Anyway.
Wait, Caitlin, what's the guy look like? Does he look like Clayton? Like, he's a big football player looking guy?
Oh, Sally's guy? Oh, I'm trying to think. I don't remember what he's like.
Cassidy.
No.
Oh, Cassidy's. I don't know if I'm going to Google right now, but I don't know if there's pictures of that guy readily available.
I thought you said that she was posting it on
No,
Instagram.
No. Sally Carson, the...
Oh, the Sally's one, back with
yes,
her.
Sally, who broke up her engagement. She's back together with the guy she was engaged to.
Okay,
I did not understand that. But either way, you don't know that's going to happen. That's what I assumed, that she did not know that was going to happen. So I do think that's different.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, look. Bottom line. Here, uh-huh. What are you gonna say?
No, go give us a bottom line, because I got
something else. The bottom line, in my opinion, and I think maybe you share this thought, is that she shouldn't have told anyone about this friends with benefits. Like, why would you just tell that to a bunch of strangers, like at a reality TV show?
Because she has poor judgment.
You make
Craig.
Instant friends. Yeah.
Oh, so like a bonding There's... moment? Like, oh, tell us about your friends with benefits?
Yeah, it's a very... It's the people that's the whole reality show formula, is that you think you have fortitude right. and then you don't, you know,
and
because
then they use
you
it
are like,
you. Yeah.
Yeah, they totally do. And
well,
if she had
told Shanae would not have used it against her, I think, because they are like, it seems like they're legit buds, and that Cassidy was tutoring her and, you know, the do's and don'ts of how to get further on The Bachelor. So I would assume in an actual friendship situation with another contestant, that person might keep your secret, but
right.
I don't know why you would just say it to anyone when it's so early on that you wouldn't know if you could actually like trust that person or not.
Right.
I think it seems weird. I think it is true though that most contestants on The Bachelor are probably, you know, not exactly friends with benefits, but minorly attached to somebody, whether yeah. it's an ex you're thinking about. I mean, that's always going to be true. Okay.
Yeah.
So referring to what Caitlin just alluded to, though, here is the conversation between Shanae and Cassidy.
The hardest part is over. I got through night one and I've preemptively gotten through the second rose ceremony already. So as it goes from here, there's not that many people in this house that I see as legitimate competition.
I forgot to tell you, we got the date card and it's a one-on-one.
You got it.
Who do you think?
Susie.
Yep. They're getting the entire day one-on-one. She was
well, no shit.
Kind of like, I'm nervous, but I'm excited. I don't know how I feel.
I'm telling you.
I would be jumping up and down.
If I'm being totally honest with you, people like that don't tend to, they don't tend to last.
No.
That part cracked me up because they're fighting for this. I mean, okay, so they kind of remind me how when you see a group of bubbly sorority sisters or something, they think they're so hot. But then when they see a Susie, who I'm sure they consider to be much hotter than them, they get like deadly jealous. And so their only recourse is to say she won't last long.
Well, she did fly back from Japan to become Miss Maryland or Rhode Island or whatever.
Virginia, right?
Virginia. Yeah, that's a big one, Craig.
Yeah, so I just found it so fun that these, you know, you'd think they'd be kind of on Susie's side, except they're absolutely not because they're just who you think they are when you see them walking up to you or something. They're just horrible, and they have no reason to attack this girl, this woman. I don't know how old she is.
She's 28. Interesting.
Oh my gosh, she looks 21.
How do I remember these things?
20, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's the same age as Clayton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I have nothing much to say about Susie's date, but...
Well, I do, because it was a normal date. And I did like how Susie was, she seemed like fun to be around, right? Like she was talking and saying how much fun she was having and stuff like that. But nothing jumped out at me as being like spectacular. But Clayton was like, oh man, this was the greatest day ever. I've had the best time. I can't imagine any better time than this. Like he was really amping up the praise on the date when the date to me didn't seem all that spectacular.
She seems like great bachelorette material because she can, I can definitely see her as a girl that a lot of men would like a lot, especially.
They just fall over in front of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She reminds me a lot of Hannah B, not just in looks, but in sort of that personality of being like, ooh, she's fun. She can talk to people easily. You know, like that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, she was carrying that conversation.
Yeah, yeah, Clayton. Yeah. Clayton's not much of a conversationalist. We're learning.
Yeah. But, except that Hannah B. didn't really have that. She did not. I mean, some guys kind of liked her, but as we were kind of noticing, they were bored with her. Or they didn't pick the right guys. But Sally, what's her name?
Susie.
I can see her being very... like just all around super attractive to men. And the only thing that made that obvious to me wasn't even Clayton's reaction, which now totally fits that puzzle, but it was the girls' reactions, Shanae and Cassidy's reaction to her of just dead, like jealousy. Right. So I was so, this woman.
Yeah. Should we wave at the helicopter?
End the fact.
Hell no.
Those were different women too. And the fact to me was interesting is in that Cassie and Shanae conversation when Shanae tells Cassidy that the one-on-one date card came while she was gone and makes her guess who got it, that her first guess is Susie, which is right. That was interesting to me that she like knew automatically
the thing is
that Susie would be likely to get
right.
it.
Right.
You
Right. The only it makes other sense, that's what I'm saying.
I can think of is, do you remember that show Martin, starring Martin Lawrence back in the day?
Yeah.
It had a Shanae-Nay on it. I don't know if you remember
her name
that.
Is Shanae.
Yeah, but yeah, she's Shanae-Nay.
Yeah, she has an alter ego where she calls herself Shanae-Nay.
She's like, Shanae was reserved and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, but Shanae-Nay is outgoing and she did a little dance. Are you sure you watched the same episode?
She did the nay-nay dance.
This isn't the first time you didn't see something, EZR.
I totally saw it. I just didn't think that was okay. And I don't think it's funny. And I don't think it's it's relevant.
It's not
because...
funny or okay, but she
What's
did.
Wrong with, why is it not okay?
She did call herself that. It feels very like cultural appropriation-ish.
Oh. Okay.
Then, right. Yeah.
Also, the shot that they showed, like they zoom out to show her doing the nay-nay, and it's so awkward because it's just this room. And she's, like, doing this dance really slowly. And, yeah, it was just so weird to watch because it was, like, everyone silently just looking at her do it.
Yeah.
What was interesting, so Cassidy, I mean, as I was skimming through that article, Caitlin, that you sent us, Cassidy kind of says something, like, she's obviously trying to be the Corinne, right? Corinne from Nick Viall's season, where she's so over the top that she's funny and likable, but she knows her limitations. She knows where she can come off wrong. So she stops herself. You know, it's funny to kind of insult kids and to not work on things. That's cute and funny, but she knows not to do anything too bad. Uh-huh. But Shanae does not know that. She needs to come up with her own playbook. And at first I was laughing that Elizabeth kind of stole what she said she was going to do based on what Cassidy did. But what really scared me about Shanae is that she obviously believes her own crazy mind, or at least makes herself believe it in that moment. So Craig, here's what you were alluding to earlier, where, you know, it wasn't because they had become friends before, but it was because Shanae needed to take someone down to claw her way up.
Flag here is Elizabeth. Me, you, and NC were talking out by the pool. I was trying to engage in the conversation, and I didn't feel like you were, like, looking at me and acknowledging me. You're one way one minute with me, and then you're one the next. Like, that's two-faced to me.
Babe, you pushed me today. Like, I'm sorry. If we're talking about two-faced, if you really feel like we're tight, you probably shouldn't be pushing me either. I don't think this needs to go very much further, honestly. Like, I hear what you're saying. I don't want you to feel hurt. Like, I 100% like validate you as a person and would love to move forward and continue forging a relationship.
I hope to believe you right now because I just, you hurt my feelings.
Elizabeth bends a little bit. And that part, it is, I'm sure a lot of people at home got pissed off that she bent to Shanae's manipulation,
right? Well,
right?
She was... But at the same time, she was playing it pretty perfectly. I mean, she was being very diplomatic. Yeah.
She really wanted to not have a big fight because, you know, every time there's a big fight, the other women get, like, annoyed that you're taking up time, etc. So I think she was really trying to just squash it, come across as the better person, but also, like, preempt other people getting mad at her, too.
Yeah. Right. But when that whole thing, so that was day one, but then on day two, when Shanae rehashes the fight with Elizabeth and, you know, kind of idiotically does it in front of all the women, even Cassidy can't take her side because she knows that making fun of someone's mental condition is not okay. Right. So she even says, you know, please just apologize. This is ridiculous. Like, I'm your friend and I can't even support this, something like that, which was totally interesting. Mm-hmm. So my big takeaway here is not these little things, but I mean, you guys already said that Cassidy gets cut. I don't understand why these buildups don't have a bigger payoff anymore. Clayton finds out so fast about the F-Buddy thing and everyone's against Shanae, not Elizabeth as planned, you know, as a true villain would have done. These are just kind of one-offs like crazy things to do. They're kind of chaosy, but they're not real villain material that we're used to on The Bachelor. And just for like a case in point, Craig, I get to use the drop.
All right.
I'd forgotten about it.
I'm curious which one it is.
And now for some Bachelor franchise history here on Bachelor Masters.
Good. So, good.
As I never think of using the drop, but then when I do, I should actually look it up just to make sure I have my names and my dates and my everything straight, but I didn't. So bear with me.
There was better authority than you, EZR. So we trust you. Even if you're wrong, you're probably pretty close to right.
Well, here's the thing. I get the emotion right, but I don't always get the actual, like, season 17, episode 2. You know, I don't get that kind of stuff right ever. And that's all over my life now. There was one season, Jillian's season, that they kept a guy on. His name was Wesley. Pretty sure about that. They kept him on for an entire season. I want to say he made it in the top 5 or top 4. Probably not right about that, but I know he was really up there. The entire season, he had 2 cameras where he was saying, I don't like this woman. I'm just trying to get famous. I'm trying to get my band famous. She's not hot. It's amazing how she keeps getting fooled by me. Now, that is a villain, right? Yeah. Wouldn't we all love...
Or Chad, who's going to beat everyone up. Yeah.
And like, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if Shanae kept gaslighting Elizabeth and then everyone else, but somehow convinced everyone of crazy things? The producers can pull that off. Or if Cassidy, like, they didn't show that, or they stopped Sierra from going to him. They could pull this off. They could make this be a big payoff. And I hope we're going to... I wish they would build that up again. You know, it's not as fun. That guy was... That was par... That was a normal season. That was not weird. What do you think about that, Caitlin? Wait, I got to know, because isn't that weird in a way? Imagine that happening now. Imagine Jed.
Yeah.
2-camera.
That is wild, because Jed never said anything like that.
He did say something like that. Well, he did say something like that. He said, I came on this show, to be honest with you, to be famous, but now I'm in love.
That's a lie.
Yeah, no, it was like a major psyop, which was even better, right? It was what you want.
Yeah. Well, so first of all, one thing I would like to point out is that Shanae has not been outed to Clayton yet. So we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. But so far, he doesn't know that this keeps on happening. Like, his perception, as far as we can see, is Shanae came to him, told him that Elizabeth was two-faced, and it's a big red flag. He had a conversation with Elizabeth where she was upset that he was, like, even questioning something. Like, her face, when he said he's heard there's tension between her and Shanae, she was pissed, but she was holding it down, you know? But he hasn't heard that it's happened again, or there are other conversations, or, like... the ADHD outing gate stuff. He doesn't know about any of that stuff so far. So we don't know if that's going to blow up into something bigger.
Here's the thing, though, with that, is that Shanae obviously is not smart enough to have a game plan, because she's letting this spiral as a woman drama instead of using it for Clayton, as opposed to Cassidy, who at every turn used it to get time with Clayton. So I don't feel like she's good enough at manipulation and at gaslighting to use it to her advantage. That's not really on Clayton that's kind of like lazy on her part too. Or I believe that she's legitimately mad at Elizabeth for making this bigger. Does that make sense? Because she could have just messed up a night. But instead, Elizabeth keeps coming up to Shanae and saying, can we make this better? Can you just stop talking about my mental issues? And Shanae won't have it. She's like, I mean, I have it right here, because it was so almost like stop. You're your point is no longer your point.
You're sorry and you love me. Again, you forgot because you have ADHD. The other girls don't know the real story. And they're still looking at me like, poor Elizabeth. Poor Shanae. Like, poor everyone else because she's lying to everyone and making me look bad. Yesterday,
yes.
We had a conversation and you said you had
ADHD. I tried to come to you because it sounded like you were upset, so I wanted to
right,
speak with
but
you.
I thought you and I were on the same page yesterday. Like,
we were not on the same page yesterday.
So is it your ADHD?
The kooky music.
Or is it me that you have a problem with?
I think this is really inappropriate, Shanae.
So are you telling everyone in the house you have ADHD?
You already brought it to the attention.
I didn't tell anyone you have ADHD. I have ADHD.
You absolutely did.
Everyone,
tell.
I mean, little kids have ADHD. To ever upset her again because I feel terrible. She has ADHD.
That's her laughing, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, so you can't get away with that anymore.
I believe that Shanae believes that what Elizabeth's doing is ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think
it's an act.
She is right. I don't think she's outside the game anymore. She's in her own game now. The game she created. You know, she can't remove herself. She's angry at her. Right. And you're like, why are you angry at this woman you just picked out at random, basically? So,
yeah.
That's pretty amazing to convince yourself of, like, wild. The Matrix. Who invented the Matrix.
But, like, even the turn. So, in their first conversation after Shanae told Clayton that she thought Elizabeth had red flags and was two-faced, and Elizabeth says something along the lines to Cassidy when they're having that outside conversation about how this pool incident, etc., that maybe she didn't hear her because she has ADHD and has auditory processing issues, right? Shanae hooks on to this as, like, it seems like she believes Elizabeth is lying about having ADHD to begin with. Like, that's the vibe I'm getting from the way she talks about it, is that she thinks Elizabeth just made this up on the spot or whatever, that it's a pre-made story. But she also says that she has ADHD too, which would, if she does, wouldn't she, like, understand? You know what I mean?
Her point is that ADHD is a made-up thing that is just anyone that has trouble paying attention.
Well, I think it's kind of, okay, here's what I think happens, and I'm not, obviously, I don't know this, but I know Shanae's type. And I think what happened is that, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, people used to say, I'm OCD about that. I'm ADHD. Right. Or they would say things like, I can't, you know, I can't run in PE. I have cramps. And then someone comes along who actually has that thing, and you kind of take it the way you've used it, you know? So she doesn't understand it as a real diagnosis and a real thing. She's just making fun of her based on this thing that she's used against other people.
Right.
Because Shanae seems like that.
Yeah, and she really does seem, I don't know, like, if delusional is the right word here, but she has this scenario in her head where she's decided, like, Elizabeth is somehow on purpose sabotaging Shanae specifically, not even just like that she's hogging Clayton or something from everybody in general, but that she's, like, specifically a rival to Shanae out of nowhere and not anybody else, but that also Elizabeth is making up having ADHD and that she's talking about how Shanae is attacking her to everybody else to get sympathy. So in Shanae's head, Elizabeth is like a mastermind and she's playing this perfectly and she's winning this argument. And it really seems like she believes all of this, that it's not like a thing that Shanae is making up for drama. It seems like she legit believes these things.
Mm-hmm. She's also totally cornered. You know, when you're cornered, you're going to believe more in whatever you decided. So I am, it's hard. The only one who could have helped, I mean, she's not doing herself any favors, but Cassidy's the only one right there who's saying, look, I'm on your side and I can't be on your side because of how crazy you're sounding. So stop it. And no one's, it's too late. Shanae is not okay. But let's see what happens, I guess, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, what's up with that? What's going on next week?
Well, it's next football, week is Marla's King J.
Is it, Is it ice skating championships?
No, no, of course not. They wouldn't cancel Bachelor for that. It's apparently a wild card football something game. It's an NFL thing.
So the NFL expanded the playoffs this year. So there's more there's more teams in the playoffs. So I think they spill over to Monday night.
Yeah, for MLK Day weekend, they're doing like a big one. So it's not just like Sunday night football. It's also Monday night football next week.
There you go. Can't go against the NFL.
Yeah, I looked this up, so I was like, wait, why are they not having it next week? Yeah. And yeah, that's the reason why.
Okay. I guess I lost my bet, then. I was betting on ice skating championships.
Those happened this past week, Craig.
Those happened this past week? Oh, okay.
Yeah, the U.S. Nationals are over, and then the Olympics don't start for another couple of weeks.
Oh, it's that soon?
Oh, wow. Which, I wonder if that's, well, it's on ABC, not NBC, because I was going to say NBC is broadcasting will be all Olympics once that starts.
Right.
But I guess ABC doesn't have rights to any of that stuff, so they can still show Bachelor during it.
Yeah. Did you see the NHL wants hockey to move to the Summer Olympics?
I don't really understand this as a stance other than for their season.
Yeah,
because they're off in the summer anyway.
They're tired of, they don't want to give up their games.
Yeah,
in the
they don't want to give up season games every 4 years, which is ridiculous for a number of reasons. The number one being the Olympics is one of the very few times when non-hockey fans might actually watch hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you could potentially bring in new viewers if they liked a certain player or something in the Olympics. Yeah. So it's silly to kind of try to, they've been doing this for a while. Like, they didn't let NHL players go to the last winter games because of the interruption to the season stuff. And it was like, again, this is one of the only ways you get like non-existing fans to potentially join your fan base, which is the least popular major American sport. So you'd think that they would want that.
So you watched the ice skating championships last week?
Of course I did.
Was what's his name and what's her name calling the
Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski?
Yeah.
Yes, they were, along with Terry Gannon, who he like calls a bunch of different sports. So you might have heard him on other stuff. And he's been doing it for like 30 years or something. It's been a long time. He was there too, and a couple of the ice dancing specialists were there. Ooh. It was mostly a good competition. There were some interesting things that happened, like I'll send you a picture later, but it made me laugh really hard that Nathan Chen, who is now the 6-time U.S. national champion in men's singles and the extremely dominant favorite for Olympic gold, like, he had not lost a competition since 2018 until earlier this fall when he lost his first one, but he fell on a footwork sequence and, like, splatted right on his face and slid across the ice on his stomach.
Wow.
Which is like, he still won by a pretty significant margin, but everyone was like, well, that's very silly to have happened to you. You know, like, it's a footwork sequence. It's not nearly as hard as doing, like, he does a lot of quadruple jumps, which are like
quadruple
the hardest
Lutz
thing.
Or something.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, it's kind of funny that it happened then and that it happened in such a comical, like, he's literally splayed, like, face down across the ice.
And that was our ice skating minute, EZR. She's muted.
I was not ready for that. It's not even on here. It's not even.
We have a drop for that for any of our new listeners. Which doesn't sound like ice skating at all. Sounds like a pizza being sliced.
No, it sounds like, I don't know, like fabric ripping or something. But you know what else happened actually at the Nationals was a lot of people couldn't compete because they tested positive for COVID while they were there.
Yeah.
So there were a couple there were a couple people who like petitioned to get on the Olympic team anyway because they were almost certainly going to get selected. And I think, a pairs team that petitioned got on, one of the women's singles that petitioned got on, a couple of coaches tested positive so they couldn't be by the boards and stuff with their skaters because they were in quarantine. So we'll see
this
how
Omicron.
That's gonna see how it's gonna play out with China, because and the thing I read said like the Olympic lockdown stuff is supposed to be like really tight, so people aren't as worried as much about when you're in
right
the actual like in the situation in the athlete's village, etc., because they're going to be really strict about stuff. But it's more about making sure you don't get exposed like on your way traveling
right
to Beijing and then can't compete because of that.
Right. Never mind China's human rights abuses.
You know the Olympic Committee does not care.
You know, I've been going back and forth because I'm a big fan of the World Cup, you know? And, of course, Qatar has the World Cup and is, you know, it was all bribery and shenanigans that got them the World Cup. And 6,000 workers have died building these, you know, soccer stadiums in Qatar, of all places. And I'm like, oh, I really shouldn't watch because, you know, I got solidarity with the workers and all that kind of stuff. But then I'm like thinking about all the human rights abuses that the United States has accomplished over the years. And I'm like, well, I watch United States stuff. So that'd be hypocritical if for me to not watch the Qatar World Cup. So I'm kind of flummoxed. Taxes. Yeah, exactly. I pay that. my measly pittance of tax that I pay to the United States government pays for like what, like one bomb that's been exploded over the desert, you know, maybe a couple over the years. So I'm kind of torn there.
It's a real issue because I've thought about this within terms of, you know, obviously I love to watch the Olympics because I have my entire life. I love all those sports.
Right.
But it always feels like a little dirty when you watch them. Right. Like, especially when I was watching the summer ones and they had been delayed because of COVID and stuff. And it was still like, should they even be there doing this right now anyway? So then you feel conflicted about that. And yeah, with the Beijing games, it's like, oh, boy, this whole their human rights abuses. And now you got to feel like dirty as you just watch athletes doing their thing. And it feels so weird because it's like, well, this isn't these athletes' fault that this is how this happens, because they don't control like anything in most sports, you know.
Well, then you're like, well, then the athletes should stand up, you know, and protest, but then they're putting their careers on the line. I mean, it's just a whole mess.
Yeah, it's a whole mess because so many athletes are like, I think it's rare to probably be in a position in most sports where you feel powerful enough within your sport that you could be like, I'm not participating in this for these reasons, and it would actually make a difference to other people and not just you.
Well, and some of them just flat out don't care. They're like, you know, I get mine. Yes. And
some of them like don't care, don't pay attention.
Well, live and let die.
When I was watching Formula One stuff, they compete in a lot of Middle Eastern countries like Qatar that have terrible human rights records. And there's a few drivers that will do stuff to be like, hey, I'm just going to point something out here. I'm still in these races, but like, I'm going to wear a T-shirt at the press briefings. That's like, hey, did you know that gay people are being murdered here in Hungary for being gay? I'm just going to point that out right now. But the vast majority of them like won't even do that kind of thing.
Well, they're too busy burning gasoline.
Listen, these cars are at least half electric, Craig. I don't know if I've told you about that
before. Did you know? Fun fact, EZR. Get ready with a drop. The Bachelor Masters fun fact. Uh-huh. One half of particulate matter of pollution comes from car tires on the road.
Mm.
Well, the point being that even if we all go electric, we're still going to have all that particulate pollution from the tires.
And, all right. You know. Yeah, you have a point. There are, and I do find this pretty cute, there's a handful of drivers that will specifically bike to the venues to
really
be like, listen, I'm not going to drive any more than I do for my job. You know?
That's kind of cool. I can get on board that. Huh. All right.
That buzzer meant anything else?
You're like the playing off the stage music at the
office. Yeah. Like the hook. It's going to get hooked off the stage. Oh, I don't know. Then you fashion.
I do want to point out, before we do fashion, one thing that I thought was fun. The cliffhanger they leave us on is Clayton talks to Jesse and says, you know, has anyone ever taken a rose back before? And then they go to Jesse's face and he has these comically shocked, like, bug eyes on there.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. That was funny.
No, I didn't see this.
It was at the very end.
You're too busy taking notes.
Yeah. No, I think that was in the previews.
No, it was the end of this episode.
It was the very end. He's like,
it's right before they flashed. Take you
back a rose.
He continued.
And Jesse Palmer looks like he'd just seen a ghost.
Yes. He's like, and then they flash to be continued across the screen.
Yeah. It was Jesse Palmer's big moment. Okay, fashion.
I didn't know we were doing a whole fashion thing.
I mean, it's tough. Let's pause. I don't think we need to do full fashion. The problem is because they all dress the same.
Yeah, I only have a few notes of, like, interesting something. This is not fully fashion related, but did you notice that they did the evening portion of both group dates at Big Daddy's Antiques?
Yeah. It was a little bit, like, cheap on their part.
Do you know where that is, EZR?
No, I don't. Probably Beverly Hills, right?
I was meaning to look it up, but I didn't, but I will right now.
Oh, so you don't know.
Hey, I know where Hudson Loft is.
Document.
What?
I know where
Hudson... I was...
Big Daddy's Antiques?
I opened my documents on my phone.
La Cienega.
And then I looked at my computer doc, my Google Doc. And you know how when you can tell when someone else is there, they have a little marker? Well, it was me on my own document. And I thought, who's on my document? No, I didn't share this with anyone.
Like, you're being hacked. Your bachelor notes are being hacked.
And it's a little animal in the corner. Get out of my document.
So you know where that Target is that's, like, south of the La Cienega Expo Line station?
It's like Actually, yes, I do.
It's
yes,
right next I to do. That.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
So I used to live there.
I
know where it is because I don't. But I just thought it was interesting. That they did the same place for both of them, because I don't remember that happening in previous seasons where it would be like so obviously the same place and they show you the sign indicating it's the same place even.
Yeah, they normally try to at least cover that up, but they didn't.
Yeah, well,
Hudson Loft is where they had dinner.
Yes.
And they've been there before a few times, actually. That's just a couple blocks from where I used to live in downtown L.A.
I thought
right,
it was
right near the crypto.com arena.
Don't call it that. Don't call it that, Craig.
So Clayton gave a direct shout out to that place, Hudson Loft. He's like, so great to be here at Hudson
Loft.
Yeah,
God, it's so great to be at Hudson Loft. Yeah.
And I was like, did they pay extra for that? Or did they get everything for free if Clayton says the name of the place on the show?
Oh, sure. Okay, so we'll take the expo line to La Cienega and we'll go visit Big Daddy's Antiques.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in town, next time you're in town, we can add that to the list.
I will let you know because I might be coming there at some point this summer. We will see.
That's what you said. Yeah.
We'll discuss more.
So if you do a Culver City, it's near Culver City. So if you go to Culver City for any reason, we can stop by.
It was on my trip to California. I'm like, I'm going to block out this whole day for Culver City.
All right. What else? Anything else?
There's one outfit I liked. So on the kids' birthday party date, Gabby was wearing like a denim onesie that has a halter top and a little tie belt and kind of flared legs. I thought it was cute.
It was all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Other fashion related note is during that same date, but the evening portion, when Teddy is making out with Clayton and she's talking about how she needs a lot of reassurance, you can see that she's taken off her shoes for this conversation because her bare foot is on the couch.
I saw that because she looked way too comfy to have a two-second conversation.
It was odd because it was like her leg was up and like wrapped around him and then you could see the bare foot at the end of it. And I was like, this is interesting. You've removed your shoes and you've also like half straddled him on this couch. That's a fashion note I have. I think the only other ones I had was about Cassidy's bad makeup.
Right.
So bad.
Yeah, I think that's all I
have. So bad, because she needs to just blend up. I don't know anything about makeup, and I know I have to wear clothes, you know, so I know something. But everyone knows that the bronzer looks so bad when it's in one place. It looks like you have a condition.
Right.
Yeah. I don't mess around with bronzer because I don't know what I'm doing with it and I don't want it to look like that.
I used to wear like a face lotion that had like a tint to it that would even out your face tone over time.
Yes, like a BB cream or a CC cream.
I like how it's a workaround to you wore makeup. Just you wore makeup.
Well, that was a whole different context, though. This was just like a normal day-to-day operation. I'd put this face lotion on.
You? So. Okay. All right,
before we get into that, let's end here. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Oh, no, we won't. We'll see you in two weeks. We get a break.
Right. This is the longest break the Bachelor has given us. What am I going to do with my free time?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go to bed early that week.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go look at the boats passing, ships. I'm going to go like a Seinfeld staring off the pier. This is going to be great.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'm hitting stop.
Goodbye. Okay, bye.